not going to lie, even if we don't make the playoffs next year, our head coach is sexy as fuck. Grassy Posse Packers Nation, welcome to another episode of Packcast, the podcast where you don't have to be a Packers fan, but it sure does help. I'm your host, Tom Grassy, and we're going to break down the unveiling of our 15th head coach, Mr. Matt LaFleur. Is that French for sexy? Now, I know I've already called him sexy twice in this podcast, and guess what? It's going to happen at least another three times throughout the episode, so buckle your seatbelts, because here we go. Couple notes from the Matt LaFleur meeting. So you had Brighton Gutekunst and Mark Murphy and, of course, Matt out there for about 40-ish minutes kind of discussing the process and what they saw in Matt LaFleur and why they wound up choosing him. And there's kind of just a few tidbits that I want to go through because there's some interesting little pieces here. First of all, the main committee of people actually sitting on the interview, you had Mark Murphy, Brian Gutekunst, Russ Ball was also there, and he also mentioned a bunch of other people that were integral to the process. There was also a leadership committee, which consisted of actual players, which we'll get to momentarily. But they kind of said that, in a few words, that they weren't really impressed with the other candidates. They interviewed 9 candidates, and Matt LaFleur was the last candidate of the whole bunch, and they said a couple things. One, that he was the most prepared. They loved his quiet confidence. Sexy. In addition, Mark Murphy really kind of touched on the fact that he played football also at a small school, which he related to as well. So coming from that player background, as well as, of course, all the experience he had with the Redskins under Shanahan, even with Notre Dame, and then talking about his experience of working with quarterbacks like Matt Ryan, going to the Rams, and then also deciding to start calling plays in Tennessee. In addition, one of the big things that was kind of the theme throughout this entire meeting was getting back to winning football, which, of course, I don't think any coach is going to get hired and be like, you know what, it's all right if we just start losing. And so that was obviously an emphasis because Mark was saying, like, it's been 2 long years since we made the playoffs. I'd forget what they smell like. They smell like victory, Mark. They smell like victory. And so we're hoping to get back to there. They were also asked about Aaron Rodgers' involvement, as he was a main topic of conversation, saying that Matt LaFleur actually spoke to Aaron Rodgers and was excited to meet him and kind of had that build that connection with him. One of the things that really, really stood out to me is that the players, their input said that there was kind of a complacency that had fallen over the Packers players and coaches. And I thought that was a really interesting tidbit and something that, as fans and even on this show, we have called out numerous times over the past few seasons. And Kyle, we've kind of just been sticking with tradition just to stick with tradition's sake, in that we haven't made any big splashes, we haven't made any huge changes, what have you, and we kind of just been going with the flow this entire time. And even though, like, our defense would get worse, or we would have an early exit from the playoffs, or we wouldn't have a backup QB, or, you know, all of those things that don't allow us to be a Super Bowl caliber team, we kind of just let it go. And I feel like the firing of Mike McCarthy near the end of the season, not waiting until the season was over, and this is what I'm hoping at least, is the start of something brand new. The fact that you're bringing in this 39-year-old coach to come in who has that Sean McVay type of offense that everybody and their mother is talking about, and for good reason, but that everybody and their mother is talking about, is something that I think we're bringing some youth, some different experiences, some different ideologies, and some different processes to the Green Bay Packers. And I think that is freaking fantastic because I was tired of seeing the same old thing. And if you want any more justification or examples of that, look at how long Dom Capers hung around. Yup. one of the things that was reported yesterday, and we reported it on this show too, about like Mike Pettine sticking around. The media really kind of went overboard with that, saying like, oh, he was a surefire to definitely stay. Apparently, Matt hadn't even talked to him yet, but he was going to soon. So there really is no word on what's going to be happening to Mike Pettine. But one of the things that I really liked that he said, he was asked a question about how he feels about defense and also how he feels about special teams. For defenses, he wants a ball-hawking defense.
Sexy.
And while that's, of course, just like a key word that he threw out, the number one thing that I thought of was the 2010 defense, in that they were like the bend don't break defense, but they had so many turnovers. That's what separated them from 2010 from any other iteration of our defense for the past 8 years, is that there was a very high frequency of turnovers. And so I would love to get back to that kind of football. In addition, he also said about special teams that he wanted penalty-free aggression on special teams, which, one, a sexy answer, and two, I think that means bye-bye, Ron Zook. Don't even bother packing up your stuff. Just leave. Nope, keep going. Yeah, no, lose our number. Leave the key on the desk. Yeah, bye. Because considering how many times we were penalized during special teams this year, there's no way that he's going to be saying. I also liked his authenticity too. Like, he was getting emotional. He talked about how much he loved his family. The guy even thanked his in-laws. Who does that? Who thanks their in-laws? But he did it. He did it. So I kind of, that was just a little tidbit. I like that idea as well. He is also going to continue to call plays, and they brought up the fact of like how poorly the offensive statistics were for the Titans last year. They brought up injuries were the problem. Even Mark Murphy was talking about Mariota, how he like couldn't feel his hand and like throw more than 15 yards down the field. You know, there was that issue. But as we were talking about from a couple days ago, I think it's obviously his first time calling plays, and I like that a lot. Not the fact that, like, you know, his offense didn't do too well, but they brought this up in the press conference, that he could have stuck around as the offensive coordinator with the Rams and continued to have the success that they're having now and a potential Super Bowl run. And Mark mentioned this, saying that he would have been the belle of the ball, that people would have been flying him all over the country to go and interview him because if he was behind that offense. But the fact that Matt left LA, a very comfortable, high-paying, successful job, to go and coach for the Tennessee Titans in an offensive capacity and actually calling plays, I think that speaks a lot to his pedigree, and I gotta say, I kind of like that a whole lot. When it comes to other staff decisions, he says he's gonna try to make them ASAP. Obviously, he just got there last night, so they're gonna do that. And I like his "you gotta do what you gotta do to win" kind of attitude. And so we've already talked about the fact that running backs under him usually do pretty darn well. Quarterbacks under him do pretty darn well. But I like that idea of, we're not going, and I hope, again, going forward, this is the way that we handle things. We're not going to do things just because that's what we used to do, or that's because what we're used to doing, or that's what tradition says, or what have you. I want to win another freaking Lombardi. So guess what? I don't care what we need to do to get there. Let's do that. And then the very last thing, which I know some of you will be a little peeved about, Mark was asked this at the very end about who Matt LaFleur is going to be reporting to, and even though he has a pretty tight connection with Brian Gutekunst, he is still going to be reporting to Mark Murphy. And I know a lot of you are like, oh my God, burn Mark Murphy at the stake, and I can understand the frustration for it. But I think Mark Murphy does bring a lot to the table in hiring coaches, considering he's done it so many times in the past. So, I mean, we'll wait and see. I really don't think it's as big of a deal as the media has kind of made it out to be. And this is not just because I've interviewed him twice. This is literally just because I think that relationship, like, I don't think that Brian Gutekunst has been limited in any way, shape, or form, or that they didn't get their guy or anything like that. I think it's fine, guys. The leadership, I think, is fine. If we have two more losing seasons, sure, then you throw him under the bus, and I'll drive it, and we'll be fine. But I'm really, really excited about seeing where this is going, and as I said a few days ago, and kind of what I predicted, the emphasis that was really put on here, the relationship that Matt has had with previous quarterbacks, was one of the reasons why he got this job, because he has had those relationships with a Matt Ryan, with RG3, with Jared Goff, and that has allowed him to be successful in this league. And you're coming in to, again, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL in Aaron Rodgers. and he might be a little bit high on the pedestal kind of thing. And so it's going to be like a respectful relationship. And again, even Matt said that communication is key. We don't want another Mike McCarthy incident in which, you know, we're audibling plays because we're like, oh my God, this guy's a moron. You know, I'm just going to go throw the ball 40 yards down the field. So I'm excited to see where this is going. Again, I think that this has a lot of upside. Now, that being said, I was talking to somebody about this today. I also wouldn't be 100% surprised if we didn't make the playoffs next year, and I don't see that as necessarily a bad thing. If there's one good thing that came out of this season is that hopefully we're not going by the status quo anymore. And I think that this guy just signed to a 4-year contract with a 5th-year option. I think this guy can get us there. He can get us to where we need to be. That's what I'm hoping for. That's what Packers fans everywhere are hoping for. Bears and Vikings fans, I know you're not, but just bear with me. You're the ones watching this show. But let me know what you think down below. I'm curious to see what your thoughts about this guy are. You can always find me at TomGrossiComedy.com, T-O-M-G-R-O-S-S-I Comedy, or TomGrossiComedy on Instagram, Twitter, Patreon, all the social media accounts. Check out Packcast on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play Music, and of course here on YouTube. We've been putting out episodes for over a week now, every single day. I'm starting to lose my mind a little bit. Just a bit. Before I have a mental break, I'll be sure to upload it to YouTube. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Tom Grassi. And as always, go Pack, go.